A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy.
And we have some good news, bad news. Good news, we're doing a double case today. So y'all are going to get two stories. Bad news is, but not for y'all, probably, but not for us. We are going to take next week off so we can have spring break.
Yeah, so every couple of months or so, we like to take it off, but we don't stop working behind the scenes. We're still prepping our cases and all that good stuff so that we can keep on top of all our content and make sure that you're getting the very best of us.
Yes. We won't take another one off until Memorial Day, though. So just going to get through 1 week. But if you're Patreon, you're getting more stuff anyway. So,
and if you're new, you have some stuff to binge.
Yes. Okay. We're going to start with the case, and I'm not going to lie to you, Amy, I struggled really bad with how to present this. I was like, I do it over 2 weeks? Do I do it in chronological order because there are two cases? Do I do it? I struggled a lot. So I decided to make it one episode, and I'm going to tell you it in the order it was discovered, not the order in which it happened.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised to hear that you struggled, but now reflecting on some of our conversations, it totally makes sense. So,
yes. Okay. Today we're going to start with the case of Terrence Dion Williams. And I just want to say from the jump that these cases that I'm talking about today, it's two cases, both males of minorities, people of color. Terrence Williams is African-American, and the second case we'll talk about is Felipe Santos, and he is a Mexican national. I am very well aware that this is a potentially racially charged case. Amy and I say all the time that we try to do our best in presenting that information. We are white females, obviously, so we have no experience in that, but I just want to say that from the beginning.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Terrence Williams is a 27-year-old father of four. He lives in Tennessee with, it sounds like, his child's mother and his children's mother. His oldest is Kiara. She is 10, and she has three little brothers. They're super cute. Kiara actually did a few interviews, and she is well-spoken. I mean, now it's been a lot longer, but either way. He's in Tennessee. His mom lives in Naples, Florida. He had gotten in some trouble in Tennessee. He had some arrests, some drug issues, and decided the best way to provide for his family is to basically start over, start fresh.
Good idea.
Yes. So he decides he's going to move to Naples, Florida with his mom. And then once he's established, he's going to bring his family down.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, it's a place for him.
To be planful about it.
Exactly. You're not going to uproot four little children, but that's sort of the plan. I'm going to be very honest with you. He has some criminal activity background. He's been to jail. He didn't have a valid driver's license because he had a DUI. So okay. I just want to put, and that is no reason for anything to happen to him, right? But those have come up in reasons to justify why something may have happened, and I just want to put them out there now.
Yeah, that's a theme, always trying to dig and find reasons why someone might have deserved to have bad things happen to them.
Yes. Okay, so he moves to Florida. He moves in with his mom and his stepdad. It's pretty quickly realized that him and his stepdad do not get along. Terrence is 27 years old. He's an adult. His stepfather wants to treat him more like a child. They butt heads. So Terrence decides, I'm not going to live here. I'm going to move out and get a roommate and rent a house.
All right.
There were some pretty vocal arguments between the two of them. So they, whatever. So Terrence moves out.
Actually, that's a really good choice. Take yourself out of a toxic situation.
100%. So he moves out, gets a roommate, they rent a house. Even though he didn't have a license, he bought a used old Cadillac, and he, like, works on it in his free time.
Okay, love it.
Yeah, he got two jobs. He was doing construction in the day and then in a pizza shop at night. And he really relied on his mom and his roommate for rides to and from work because not having a license.
Yep.
On the evening of Sunday, January 11th, 2004, one of Terrence's coworkers is having a party at his house. Terrence really wants to go, but he can't get a ride. And he's now like, well, crap, what do I do? Like, I want to go to this party, but no one will drive me. My roommate doesn't want to go. So he makes the decision to drive himself in his unregistered Cadillac.
Okay. I'm sitting here. The reason I say it like that is like he's making such good decisions. And then there's like a not so hot decision.
Right. So he goes to the party, has a great time. He slept at the party. It sounds like he was being responsible and didn't.
Good choice. Good.
I mean, there's no like documentation of like drinking or drug use, but I assume like definitely drinking. I don't know, truthfully. But he left around 6 a.m. because he had to go to work.
Good.
Okay, so he leaves 6 a.m., heads to work, being the responsible person that has become, you know, like that's what he's doing.
Yes.
So that was on Monday, January 12th. On Wednesday, January 14th, his roommate reached out to his mom and is like, hey, have you heard from Terrence? His mom is like, no, why? And he's like, well, he hasn't come home since Sunday.
Oh, no.
So his mom's like, okay. So she drives to his work to look for him. I assume even though he's a 27-year-old.
That's the first place I'd go.
Yeah, I assume even though he's a 27-year-old adult, mom's going to be mom, right? She's going to be like, okay, let's find you.
You bet.
So she goes to his work.
And don't forget, like, 2004 is still not everyone has a phone.
Yes. So he had not been to work Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, and his paycheck was there waiting for him.
So his employer didn't reach out to anyone or didn't seem alarmed?
I mean, I get the, I don't know, no. He's a grown adult, basically.
I'm sure he just documented as, like, no call, no show, and that was the end
exactly.
of it.
Exactly. The next thing his mom, Marcia, does is drives immediately to the sheriff's office. Something is not right. This is not okay. Tells the sheriff the story. And want to know what they say?
Let me guess. He's an adult. He can do what he wants.
Ding, 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 ding. Yep. So she's like, okay, well, that's not okay with me. He's not doing what he wants. So she calls his kids in Tennessee to say, like, have you heard from him? Maybe he went to visit unexpectedly. Nothing. She calls her sister and family, and they start doing the right thing. They call hospitals. They call jails. They call nothing. They call everything. But they get no results.
Okay.
Then Thursday or Friday, it says, everything says 4 days after he went missing. So he technically went missing on Monday. So my guess is on Friday, Marcia's sister finds his car at a tow yard.
Oh no.
It had been towed and sitting there for days.
This is getting more problematic by the second. But So a tow yard, but no one reported that? No one. Okay. Keep going.
Okay. So Marcia at this point is like, okay, well, I'm going to go to the tow yard. She goes to the tow yard and gets the information about the car, when it was towed, where it was from, what time. It was towed mid-morning on Monday from the Naples Memorial Cemetery, where it was found abandoned.
The cemetery? That's eerie.
Yes. Marcia, I love her, by the way. She's like her own detective. She drives over there and does her own investigation. She actually made the employees sign affidavits.
Oh my goodness. She's a pro.
She really is. I literally wrote, like, kick ass and take names, Marcia. Get it. Like,
yeah.
She talks to the employees at the cemetery, and they say, oh, yeah, Monday, we saw him get pulled over. And he was pulled over, likely for unexpected, unregistered, unlicensed.
Oh, can you imagine?
He got out of a car. They said he had what looked like a pretty civil conversation with the sheriff that pulled him over. He was not handcuffed, but he was put in the back of the cruiser. So Marcia now kind of breathes a sigh of relief, right? She's like, okay, well, he's in jail. This sucks, but he's in jail.
Yeah, so he didn't call anyone from jail? Like,
She goes back to the sheriff's department, and there's no arrest or detaining record at all. Not even a citation.
So, I mean, that kind of makes sense because he wasn't handcuffed. If he was brought home because he wasn't allowed to drive his vehicle, he'd be at home.
Do you want me to keep going?
Yeah.
Okay. Marcia now is like, no, listen up, law enforcement. Like, people saw him get arrested. He's arrested. He's in jail. And it sounds like Marcia was definitely a thorn in their side.
She started off pretty determined, so it doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
Law enforcement pulls the records from that day, whatever. The sheriff in question is 17-year veteran Stephen Calkins. Dispatch reaches out to him at home. And I'm going to have you insert this call here. It's call number 1. I want you to listen to it. We'll only play these calls once, but you'll get the gist.
Hello?
Yeah.
I hate to bother you home on your day off, but this woman's been bothering us all day. You towed a car from Vanderbilt to 111th Monday, a Cadillac. Do you remember it?
No.
Do you remember? She said it was near the cemetery.
What do you want me to take from that, Melissa?
Well, just give me your thoughts and feelings. I see. We need to start recording your facial expressions because I can see them, but no one else can.
My initial response is, I know that when we live pretty monotonous days, it's hard to recall details and what happens on what day, et cetera, et cetera. I guess, like, this is 3 days prior or so, and you can't remember, like, towing a car from a cemetery. Maybe, I mean, I don't know. I'm probably jumping the gun a little bit. I mean, it was 3 days ago. He might have several tows during the day. I don't know. That's all.
I think what struck me about that call was how annoyed they were that she kept calling.
You know what? I'm not. I kind of feel like this is probably what happens with any pushy family behind the scenes. I'm sure they're muttering whatever in the background, and I guess you gotta put your annoyances and stresses with your colleagues, and I get that. Put them somewhere. Don't take them out on the family, and if they weren't taking it out on the family, I guess I can't say much about that.
Okay. Fair. Here we are. Now where are we? You know, people are saying he got arrested by this deputy. Deputy says it didn't happen. There's no documentation of it, but Terrence is still missing. So we go back to the drawing board.
And how many people actually witnessed that?
It sounds like 3 or 4. I don't know. I don't have, like, the documents.
Yikes.
Again, we need to start recording your facial expressions.
Well, what I was
going to
say was, I totally get one eyewitness statement can come from, like, the best place and to the best of their perception and memory. But when you say 4, I don't know. Keep going.
Marcia keeps asking all the questions. She puts out flyers. She does all the things. And another person comes forward and says, like, he was detained / arrested, whatever. And then 45 minutes later, the deputy came to search the car. But don't worry. Then Deputy Calkins remembers what happened.
So it's been plaguing him, so he finally was able to remember it.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Good.
He only got Terrence's first name. Terrence was actually already pulled over on the side of the road with car trouble. So Deputy Calkins pulled up behind him and was like, hey, like, what's going on? He was like, my car broke down. I'm late for work. I have to go to get work, blah, blah, blah. Terrence was really upset. And the deputy was like, oh, okay, well, jump in. I'll give you a ride. Where do you work? And Terrence told him he worked at the Circle K. And Deputy Calkins dropped him off there.
That was nice.
Yeah. And just so you know, I'm going to say it here. Sheriff Calkins has a clean record and more than 15 letters of public from the public commending his acts of kindness. All of them stories about how he helped stranded motorists. So this is, like, right up what he does.
So no different than anything else. He is
right
there to literally serve.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So the only weird thing was Terrence doesn't work at the Circle K. But Lawrence law enforcement says, well, first of all, so what happened was after he gave him a ride, he said he would go back and take care of getting the car towed. So he went, and he went to go in to get the insurance registration, and there was none. So then he calls the Circle K that he dropped him off at, and there's no one named Terrence there because he doesn't work there.
That's bizarre.
Well, so law enforcement says it was clearly Terrence was like, I don't want to get arrested for driving without a license. I'm going to give you a fake place of work that I can probably hang out at for a little bit and have someone pick me up later. And I don't want to get in trouble.
So that makes sense to me.
Me too. Totally makes sense. Terrence's mom starts really pushing that, like, this is foul play and Deputy Calkins did something to him and this is all fake, law enforcement cover up. And they investigate it, right? Like law enforcement does.
Yeah.
Deputy Calkins takes a lie detector test and passed.
Okay, great.
Right. So now the Collier County Sheriff's Department also reaches out to Florida law enforcement to be like, hey, can you do like an investigation because this is our department, right? And you have to investigate our department.
Right.
So we want someone else to basically come in and investigate because we don't feel like we should do that. Is that fair?
Yeah, and that's kind of how it should be.
Exactly, 100%. Deputy Calkins is essentially cleared of everything. Terrence is still missing, and his mom is still, like, trying to figure out what happened.
So did he have any confrontations at the party from the previous night?
None that have come forward.
And no witnesses that said, no, there was something going on?
Nope.
And then if someone had been following him that morning, I would feel like it would be pretty ballsy to continue to follow a police car.
I would agree with you. So do you want the theories? If we stop here, right? Like, obviously there's more to everything because this is more than one story. But if we stop here, the theories are his stepfather and him got in a fight.
Okay.
He was back in the life of criminal enterprise and was either running from, he left his life to, like, run from bad people or to run from potential arrest after he realized he got pulled over for driving. after he realized that his car was impounded, he likely knew that he was going to be in trouble for driving without a license. He already had a DUI, and he just basically went to hide from that.
Okay.
Like, he didn't want to go back to jail.
Yeah.
Then there's foul play, random foul play, or the police officer did something to him, or the sheriff did something to him.
So the only one I kind of feel like it isn't is for him to have been involved in high-level enough criminal activity to have been responsible for his disappearance. I'm kind of sitting here having faith that he was trying to do things in a different way than he had previously. I mean, evidenced by he's got a job that it's very important that he gets to. That he's, although it wasn't the best way to go about it, he's trying to maintain a vehicle to get there. I mean, that's not a guarantee by any means, but I don't know. I guess it's that faith part of myself that he's made a good change, and unfortunately that doesn't come with any evidence, but I don't know. That's just like my soft side.
So what would you think happened?
Well, the stepfather would fit if it wasn't such a random time and location.
Unless he called him to pick him up from the Circle K.
Really? You're going to call someone you have such hostility for? And
I mean, maybe he called his mom and she was at work. I mean, I don't think that either, but
I just don't feel like it makes any sense. Like, if he tried to call his mom and somehow got put through to stepdad, or his mom called his stepdad to go pick him up, I feel like he wouldn't have gotten in the car with him.
Okay, so then
he had enough sense to leave his home before, you know?
I agree with you. So do you think that he, like, ran away to hide from being arrested? Do you think the cop did something to him?
I mean, I guess I feel two ways. Like, knowing what I know about the way that law enforcement handles arrests sometimes, more often, way more often than they should, it cannot be something that we don't talk about. So it's certainly a possibility. We know for a fact it happens. On the other hand, four witnesses saw a peaceful exchange, right?
And they saw him get back in the back of the car with no handcuffs on.
Right.
Which would only validate the story that he was getting him a ride somewhere.
Right. So I guess I'm kind of on something happened to him after the Circle K.
Okay. Now let me ask you a question. Would it change your mind if this isn't the first minority man to vanish after being put in the back seat of Deputy Calkins' cruiser?
Well, how many are there?
There's one other that we know of.
Oh, so I get it. This is how the cases are connected, huh?
Uh-huh.
So.
Ding, ding, ding. Amy wins.
So.
Let's go back to Terrence Williams for one more minute.
Yeah. I would say at that point, you cannot ignore that. That's bizarre. Either you have such poor judgment and you're basically letting people out of your vehicle, your police cruiser, in the most risky, dangerous spot, or there's something more to it.
Okay. So let's go back to Terrence Williams for a minute. So he's missing,
overwhelmed,
right? His mom is like, Marcia is, you know, Nancy Grace on the case here, right?
Yeah.
So she gets a call from the Mexican consul general in Miami.
What?
That was essentially her reaction. And I wrote in all caps, she's basically like, who? What? Why?
Okay.
And he says to her, hi, this is the Mexican consul general. We are contacting you because a Mexican national disappeared in October of 2003 after being put in the backseat of Deputy Sheriff Stephen Calkins' vehicle. So let's...
Huh?
Let's switch over to Felipe Santos. Okay?
Okay.
Felipe Santos was raised in a small town in Mexico. And he had a baby girl and a wife, or a common-law wife, back in Mexico. He came to the United States to basically seek a better life for his family.
Okay.
His plan was he will come, establish himself, then bring his wife and daughter over. Sound familiar?
Very.
He actually came over undocumented.
Okay.
And he took work doing odd jobs like farm work or construction. But he was super focused on supporting his family. Like, that was his goal. That's why he was here. And I'm not going to get into a conversation about coming here illegally. That's a political conversation I'm not going to have. That's just a fact, okay? He was here illegally. And okay. Even if he's here illegally, nothing should happen to him regardless. Like, as a, like physically safety, I mean.
Yeah.
Okay. So he lived near his brothers. They worked together. They lived in Naples, Florida, which is also where Terrence Williams lived. And October 1st, 2003, Felipe was driving to work with his two brothers. It's 6:30 in the morning. Which, does that sound familiar to you at all?
They sound identical.
Okay, so they're driving to work, and Felipe's 1988 Ford truck accidentally hit another vehicle at a shopping center parking lot. But right on the road outside of it. So they pull into the parking center to, like, exchange information. And since they were illegal, they try to tell the driver, like, we'll just pay you cash. Please don't call insurance.
Right.
Which sounds horrifying. If I was the driver, I'd be like, no, I'm going to call insurance. But I understand the scariness for them.
Well, yeah, because their whole life could end right then and there.
Right. She calls her husband, and her husband's like, no, you call the police. She calls the police. Enter Sheriff Deputy Stephen Calkins. He asks for license registration for both drivers. Obviously, Felipe doesn't have it. So, according to a witness, Sheriff Calkins got super annoyed about people driving without a license and just said that basically it's super annoying. He writes Felipe citations and puts him in the back of the cruiser and drives off. Basically, the family's like, great, he's being arrested, deported, all the things.
Right.
His brothers go to work, and I imagine a family with undocumented family members, any encounter with law enforcement is terrifying.
Yes.
So the brothers didn't even want to call and to follow up on it because they were undocumented.
Right. There's a lot of fear.
So they get to work and they tell their boss the story. And their boss is a pretty good guy. He contacts the local jail to bail him out.
Okay.
And, right, well, that's great, right? They're going to get him out of jail. Whatever. He's never been booked. Never brought to jail. Never been arrested. Nothing. So here we go again.
Yeah.
So now his brothers are mad. So they actually file a complaint against the sheriff's office. But again, Deputy Calkins is cleared of any wrongdoing. Well, actually, this is first. This is happening before. So he's cleared of any wrongdoing. And they call law enforcement, does the same thing. They call Deputy Calkins up and they say, hey, this is what happens. And at least he remembers this one. He says, yeah, he was a hardworking guy trying to support his family. I didn't want to actually arrest him, but I couldn't just leave him at the scene with no license. So I just gave him a ride to work at the Circle K.
Why does everyone say they work at the Circle K?
Investigators essentially tell the family and the Mexican consulate that, listen, there's no evidence of foul play. And they think he's lying low to avoid being arrested. He is illegal. Now he's in hiding. So nothing can happen.
For 20 years, almost?
Like I said, now internal affairs is involved, right? Because now there's two weird situations.
So now law enforcement knows this, right?
Yeah, law enforcement has acknowledged now that they're like, this is getting a little bit weird.
So, okay? Let me get this straight. Terrence is actually the one that goes missing first.
No. Felipe goes missing in October 2003. Terrence goes missing in 2004. But because Felipe was undocumented, law enforcement literally just said he's hiding from being deported. So he basically left his life. But then when Terrence happens and his mom is making noise, the Mexican consulate reaches out to her and is like, hey, just so you know, this isn't the first time this has happened. We just haven't had any traction because he left his life because he's an illegal immigrant.
Okay.
You want me to keep going?
Yeah.
I mean, no, but yes.
No, for sure. I gotta know.
Okay. Like I said, now they have brought in Florida, like, state law enforcement. They have brought in internal affairs. They have brought in all the things. And they pull his recordings having to do with Terrence Williams from dispatch. Listen to call number 2.
Okay.
And I'm just going to give a disclaimer. It is a bit racially insensitive. It's not, there's no blatant inappropriate words, but the connotation of the call is a tough one.
People talk like this when they know their every move is recorded.
I know. I was like, dude, like, so it must be acceptable. But here's my big takeaway from that. I thought you gave him a ride. How did you find an abandoned vehicle?
I didn't even think about that. I was so wrapped up in the language. Huh. I don't know. Keep going. What?
Now, this is the last call we're going to put in. Listen to call 3.
Okay, so what did he do? I mean, this made news. He had to have said something or made a statement.
No, he didn't.
Oh, what?
So they gave him another polygraph. This came back deception indicated.
All right.
So now they forensically, he stops cooperating completely, right? Like, he thinks he's being railroaded by his department. This is crap, basically. He helped 2 men in bad situations, and he's being punished for it.
Everyone reacts differently in situations, but I don't know if not cooperating would be my move. I would be like, no, let me please help you figure this out so I can get my name cleared.
100%. So they forensically have the crime scene unit review his cruiser. Nothing. No blood, no nothing. They put a GPS monitor on his car and secretly track him for months. He was not going to the same place. They were trying to see if he was going to, like, you know, where he may have, I don't know, disposed of a body, I guess. Nothing. They interrogated every person arrested by him. Nothing. They investigated his friends. Nothing. Because of all that, they can't get probable cause to search his home. And they basically say there's no evidence of foul play and both men have reasons to leave their lives.
You know, and I can't picture this guy being stupid enough to leave something right in his home, so I don't know that that would have gotten them any closer.
So enter Tyler Perry, like the actor.
Oh, yeah? This guy is a hero right now, giving Megan and Harry a home. Like, he does lots of stuff for, I think, charity, I think. He's a hero.
Yeah, he actually heard the story and calls up Marcia, who, you know, everyone should call up Marcia. She should be the next Nancy Grace, in my opinion. But he offers her $100,000 for each of the 2 victims as reward money for any information leading to what may have happened to Terrence or Felipe.
So we believe someone out there knows something.
I mean, that's all we can do.
Yeah.
There's a $200,000 reward. Law enforcement has cleared Deputy Hawkins, but...
Tell me this guy is not a police officer still.
He did get fired for cause.
Certainly not legally enough to, like, arrest him for anything, but certainly enough suspicion to make it hard to trust someone on the streets with vulnerable people.
And then in 2020, the families sued him for wrongful death of both victims. And because of COVID, there's no like answer yet.
Yeah, I know from my clients, like, things keep getting continued in court, continuance after continuance.
So there's no actual evidence of that.
Right. But civil court is a whole different ballgame.
Right. So law enforcement essentially has cleared him. Like, there's no evidence of foul play. And, you know, both victims have a reason to leave their life. They both potentially could be arrested. One of them is illegal. One of them, you know, potentially could have criminal ties or made some bad decisions. Didn't want to go back to jail.
I know you're not saying it. I know you're just telling me the prevalent theories, but you don't leave your life for 18 years or so and not make any contact with your family, not pass a message to them, letting them know you're okay over this stuff.
Okay, so I mean, I agree with you, but we are 45 minutes in and we haven't gotten to theories yet. So let's talk about theories for Felipe Santos. There's only two, right? There's Deputy Hawkins did something to him, or he was illegal, so he tried, he basically left his life to not be deported, which is a valid thought. And there's no evidence of foul play.
This is one of those cases where, like, there are too many weird things to dismiss them, though, even though I don't have any evidence. What are the odds? What are the odds?
I mean, they're not very good. What are the odds that two people were put in the backseat of cruisers? They're both minorities in a primarily white area, and they both have never been seen again, but they're both dropped off at a Circle K. Oh, I didn't even tell you that. One of the things they tried to do was verify. If you remember, Deputy Hawkins said that he called Terrence's work at the Circle K after he dropped him off.
Mm-hmm. No record of that, huh?
No record of that call, and store employees don't recall it either. I like that you're like, no record of that, huh?
So we know the time frame that he did this, because it's got to have happened before they were due at work. Do we know his next call that he responded to? Because that would give the time frame of where he could have gone to have disposed of a body, unless he's bold enough to keep it in the vehicle all day with him.
Law enforcement has been very tight-lipped. But I would say if they had anything to use, they would use it.
There's no indication that this guy's racist or anything.
Amy, did you not listen to that dispatch call?
No. I'm talking about
when he's, like, making fun of the Cadillac.
I get that. But I'm talking more in terms of people coming forward and saying that they were treated.
And they asked everyone he arrested. And everyone was like, no, it was fine. So the theory is that he preyed on minority men that likely had a reason to not come home or had few people that would do that to, like, launch an investigation.
But that, like, that creeps me out because that means that he's kind of been plotting something like this for a while. If he was looking for the right victim, and then at that point, what would your reasoning be? That you're sick and twisted and like to hunt people? Or,
I mean, so I'm on the Reddit right now, and someone said either Deputy Hawkins is the unluckiest man alive or he had something to do with it. But why? Why? There is a thing called Starlight Tours. Okay, this is from the Indigenous groups in Canada. Law enforcement would take an Indigenous person for a quote-unquote Starlight Tour. This is back in, like, the 60s and 70s. And they would just drop them off in the middle of the night in a field.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. And they would take their clothing, abandon them, and leave them stranded in sub-zero temperatures.
That's torturous.
100%. But that's just, there's a theory that, like, he was essentially doing that.
In Florida?
I mean, I don't know. Then there's a theory that, like, was someone at the Circle K involved? And although that's a good, like, jumping off point, the sheriff's deputy taking them both to the Circle K is weird.
When neither of them had any ties to a Circle K.
Right. Neither of them worked there, so
I wish this took place in the day of Facebook or something, because I would wonder what a guy like him would be posting. And if that would help us, like, narrow down the type of person he was.
So I think there's actually some merit to the fact that, like, he's annoyed by people that drive without licenses, and he drives them off somewhere as punishment and leaves them somewhere.
So pretty much setting someone up for death, but not actually...
Yes, but didn't actually do it. Right, and it sounds like, in my opinion, I think that there's a chance that he did it with Felipe, got cleared, never felt any heat for it, because all the heat came after Terrence. So thought he was ballsy enough to do it again.
But it would still mean that he's racist, because...
Oh, 100%.
He hasn't been accused of doing this to any white males.
Correct.
Huh. I feel bad in the sense that this is probably a case where I have less to present in solid foundational facts that have led me to my own personal opinion and conclusion. It's personally just like I see how the world responds, law enforcement towards young black men or all black men. And this happened in a time where it probably wasn't in the media talked about as much. But why wouldn't it? It's always been going on. We just can record it now. And it just seems like it sits wrong in my gut. And there's got to be more to what this officer knows or did. I don't know if he actually killed them, but he seems to me as if he set them up in such a way to die.
I actually agree with the Starlight Tour theory, because then there's never any, like, evidence of anything.
And you really don't have to take responsibility. Like, you could say that he didn't harm him in a lie detector. Nope, just gave him a ride. That's true.
Right.
I don't know, Melissa. I mean, so as crazy as I think that is, you tell me that it happens, excuse me. And I believe that. And with the way not just black, but persons of color, particularly males, are treated, if tomorrow someone said that he was involved, I would not be surprised at all.
Yeah, I sort of, like, as much as we both try to look at the best in law enforcement, I think it's important to realize that there are going to be singular people out there that aren't great people.
This guy just can't be unlucky with the same exact story.
Yeah, I want to be like, dude, you dropped them both off at the Circle K? Really? You couldn't come up with a different gas station?
Yeah, I don't know. What do the people across Reddit think, generally?
That either that he did it.
Okay, the last case we talked about, we were in the opposite direction of Reddit. So I just wanted to see where we landed. Okay. I don't know. Does anyone disagree with that? Does anyone think that this is just a coincidence? Because I don't have any evidence to support my thoughts.
No, a lot of people are just saying, like, I'm so glad Tyler Perry is, like, going to put money out here and try to get answers. That you know, the sheriff is guilty of something.
All right. Well, I mean, that's the only place I can go. And I feel, like, super confident on that.
Me too. And, like, but I understand why both of them have cases to leave their lives. But like you, I don't think they will for 18 years. But I understand why law enforcement has to explore those options.
Yeah. If you ever went to court and a lead wasn't followed up on, it could really hurt your case.
Right. And it makes me say, like, okay, well, obviously they both potentially could go to jail, or one of them could be deported. Like, let's make sure that they actually didn't just take off.
Right. All right. I think we've talked this through and through.
I agree with you. All right. So we'll be back in 2 weeks with a whole new case. If you're on Patreon, you'll get a case next week, though.
Yeah. Have a great break and
tell us what you think.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.
more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.